Today, Microsoft bids for your cell phone business.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. Good Monday. I'm Bill Radke. Microsoft might still be king of the PC, but it is way behind in the smartphone game. Today, the company hopes to change that with the release of its Windows 7 operating system for mobile devices. Marketplace's John Dimsdale has the story.
Smartphone sales are growing at a 30% clip, but Microsoft's share of the software that operates phones has fallen by half to just 5%. To try to take back the market from Google's Android and Apple's iPhone, Microsoft today will unveil a group of smartphones that run on Windows Phone 7. Software analyst Rob Enderle says for WP7 to be successful, it'll have to look stunning and work well.
It has to stand out as being something that's different and desirable, and it certainly has to show up on attractive hardware and on carriers that are beyond AT&T.
That won't be the case at first, but analysts expect the software will make downloading and watching videos and movies on phones easier. Still, Microsoft is so far behind the competition that some analysts think it might be better for Microsoft to just buy a more successful phone company, like maybe the one that makes BlackBerry. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do some morning numbers. Stock prices in Europe and Asia pointing upward today. Investors seem convinced the U.S. Federal Reserve will keep applying the jumper cables to the economy. Now, the flip side of that is the dollar is near a 15-year low against other currencies. More on that in a moment. And the price of oil creeps upward. It's above $84 a barrel now. On Friday, the Dow Industrials transcended 11,000. They added 58 points. The close was 11,006. Okay, as I said, the dollar has continued its fade against other global currencies. This after the world's financial leaders got together over the weekend to defuse a potential currency war. There was a lot of talk, not much action yet. Marketplace's Janet Babin joins us live. Hi, Janet.
Good morning, Bill.
So tell us what's going on at this meeting.
Well, this was the annual meeting of the International Monetary Fund, the IMF, in Washington, and the big topic on the table was worry over these global currency issues. You know, emerging nations like China and Brazil like to keep their currency valued low. That keeps the stuff they make cheaper on the world market, so more of us will buy it. But it can also lead to volatility and instability in foreign exchange markets. Like today, we saw the dollar falling against some other world currencies. So the big fear in the U.S. is that traders will eventually dump the dollar on these world currency exchanges.
And what can nations do to reduce currency wars?
Well, the IMF leader just wants everyone to get along. He's calling for a systemic stability initiative, the kind of cooperation we saw during the peak of the financial crisis. But that's kind of gone by the wayside recently, and now nations seem more interested in protecting their own interests.
So where are we headed, Janet?
Looks like we're going to push this one forward, Bill. There's a summit in Seoul next month where you can bet solutions to global currency potential wars will likely top the agenda.
We'll keep following it. Marketplace's Janet Babin. Janet, thank you.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0. By the new Harvard Business Review, the July-August issue is on newsstands now, featuring an in-depth interview with Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz. And by MassMutual, a mutual life insurance company owned by its members and policyholders. Learn more at massmutual.com/mutuality.
We know the internet has been rough on newspapers and the postal service, flea markets. You would think you could add to that list the phone book. Why do we need this huge tree-killing printed compendium? Yet, the telephone directory hangs on. I'm joined by the author of a new book called The Phone Book, The Curious History of the Book That Everyone Uses But No One Reads. Ammon Shea, welcome to Marketplace.
Hi, thanks for having me.
If no one reads it, why does the phone book still land with a thud on my driveway?
Well, there are several reasons for that. The first is that everybody likes to say that they don't want the phone book, but when you actually try to take it away from them, there's a good amount of protestation on their parts. Particularly people who are not necessarily conversant with the internet, say people of a certain age, the elderly, they tend to become a little discomfited when you tell them you're going to take their telephone books away.
And what's the next reason the phone book survives?
Well, for Yellow Pages, particularly because they're great business. It's a wonderful profit machine. And in 1996, Congress passed the Telecommunications Bill, which was ostensibly aimed at fostering competition. And there was a little tiny bit of it that said basically anybody that wants to can now print a Yellow Pages. They just need to get the telephone numbers and you can go ahead.
That explains why there are so many more now than when I was a kid.
They've exploded.
It sounds like you love the phone book, Ammon, but it is doomed, right?
Well, one would think it's doomed. However, I think innate human laziness probably has more to do with its survival than anything else. For instance, in Norway, which is considerably more environmentally conscious than we are here, they've had an opt-out policy in place for years, meaning if you don't want a telephone book, just call us and we won't send you one. And approximately 7% of the population takes the time to pick up the phone and say, don't send me a telephone book. Conversely, if you have an opt-in policy saying you only get a telephone book if you ask for one, in the United States, polls have found that approximately 2% of the population will say, yes, I want a telephone book. So until they get around to changing the laws saying you don't need to have a telephone book and decide whether they're going to do an opt-in or an opt-out, I think the book is pretty much going to stick with us.
It's called The Phone Book, The Curious History of the Book That Everyone Uses But No One Reads. Ammon Shea, thank you.
Well, thanks very much.
And finally, some fans of the rock group Weezer want to pay the band to break up. They don't think Weezer's made any good music since their 1996 album Pinkerton, and they're sick of being disappointed. So they're trying to raise $10 million they can use to bribe Weezer to just stop releasing records. And how does Weezer feel about the criticism? Apparently they don't care. The drummer actually says if they can make it $20 million, we'll do the deluxe breakup. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.